the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer with Sessions Steve Radio on Heritage Radio Network. It's June 22nd, 2010. I'm Jimmy Carboni, the host, and my co-host tonight is Ray Dieter from DBA Bars. How you doing, Ray?
I'm all right, Jimmy. How you doing, man?
We've got a really great show tonight. We have some special guests, including Joe Carroll from Spite and Dival. We've been waiting for him for about 2 months. How are you, Joe?
I'm very, very well. I've been holding out on you.
Spite and Dival is one of my favorite beer bars in the whole city, and I think everyone else will concur with me. And we got Ron Lindenbush from Lagunitas, a repeat guest, one of our other favorite guests. How you doing, Ron?
I couldn't be better if it was legal, Jimmy.
So, Ray, I think we got Spite and Dival, DBA, Jimmy's number 43, and Lagunitas. Looks like a pretty good show's coming up.
It's the unholy three, and I think it's great. Joe, it's good to see you on the radio.
I'm glad to be here.
And love your place, love your food.
Thanks, man.
And it's great to see you sitting there behind the microphone.
So, Joe, what's the name of your new show? I mean, your bar restaurant?
My new place is called St. Anselm. And we are open, but we don't have our liquor license at the moment. We're still wrestling with the buildings department over putting a water main in.
So St. Anselm, it's right next door to Spite and Dival.
Exactly.
It's right on Metropolitan and Havemeyer,
right,
in Williamsburg.
Right. We share the same backyard. So, you know, even though we don't have our liquor license right now, it's not the end of the world. People can get food and bring it next door to Spite and Dival or out into the backyard of Spite
and Dival. But can you bring beer from Spite and Dival?
No, you can't, you know.
Nobody would ever do that.
No, we're actually pretty strict about it. We don't want to, you know.
I bet you are, yeah.
We want to keep our noses clean, man.
Well, Beer Sessions Radio, it's supported by the Good Beer Seal, an association of good beer bars in New York City, of which DBA, Jimmy's number 43, and Spite and Dival are members. And we're sponsored by GreatBrewers.com. Great Brewers is one of our favorite sources of beer information and education. Take the Great Brewers Test 20 or the Great Brewers Test 100. Our friend Sam Merritt from Civilization of Beer did help make those tests. Have any of you taken the Great Brewers Tests?
I have not.
The GBT 100 or the
GBT? Sorry to say I haven't.
They're really good. I took the GBT 100. I did pass. I got a 72. I passed. That was before I took Sam Merritt's Civilization of Beer course.
What would happen if you lost, Jim? They just take away your liquor license?
You'd take it again.
Oh, okay.
But the reason I'm bringing up Sam is Sam Merritt's getting married this weekend. He's one of our co-hosts as well. He's getting married. And congratulations, Sam. We miss you.
Another one bites the dust.
That's right. You can call in 718-497-2128 with any questions or email us at beersessions@gmail.com. We have a special giveaway now. The parent of our station, Heritage Meats, is actually offering free pork. Heritage Meat, it's one of the best meats. It's heritage breeds, and there's special farmers and special relationships. And Patrick Martins is the founder of that and is the radio station. But if you call in, you can win some free pork. Yeah, man. Free pork.
We use quite a bit of product from Heritage Farms. A lot of heritage breed pigs and cows.
So your restaurant's called Feta Sal.
Feta Sal, right. Even at St. Anselm, too, we get a bunch of stuff from them. But especially at Feta, we go through a lot of meat at Feta. And a good portion of it comes from Heritage Farms.
What cuts of meat do you get from Heritage?
Tons of stuff, man. Anything we can get. In fact, there's a lot of times they can't even supply us with all the stuff we want, like getting pig's tails and things like that, because it's in such limited supply. One tail per pig, right? So, we take what we can get from them, really. But we love working with them. They have amazing quality product.
You think they fix that? Figure a way for pigs to have more than one
genetically,
tail?
Yeah, yeah, I think that kind of goes against the principle of
whatever. I don't know. They can make chickens without beaks. They can make pigs with two tails. Come on.
I'm sure. Well, Joe, we've been dying to ask you some questions.
All right.
And I'm sure our listeners want to know. How did you ever get interested in the bar business and the good beer business in particular?
I got in the beer business because I liked good beer. It's basically that simple. I never intended on being in the beer business. I was in the music business for a decade, basically my entire professional career prior to opening up Spite and Dival, for about a decade from college on. And I grew up around the music business. My dad was a booking agent. It was my background. And that's what I did. But I was a big fan of craft beer. I was a home brewer. You know, so throughout the 90s, I was all about drinking great beer. I spent many hours at Ray's Fine Establishment, honing my skills.
You know, that's a common theme. So many of the good beer bar owners first went, even John Bluestein from Heartland Brewery,
yep,
who just did the New York Brew Fest, he got inspired by DBA. I think we all did.
Well, thanks very much. I mean, I did what I can, you know.
Yeah. No, hey, man.
And you're still going.
Still going. Yeah.
I mean, I see Ray every morning. I think the secret in Ale Street News a couple issues ago, Warren Montero, who's a, you know, he's a veteran of the beer world. He talked about how he's changed his diet to keep up with the beer life.
Yeah.
And he basically has excluded, like, you know, other things like carbohydrates, and but he can still drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I see Ray going to the gym every day.
I go to the gym every morning, 45 minutes.
Really? I think our sub theme this week is longevity.
Longevity.
You got to keep it going. Like Woody Allen says, you know, the secret to success is showing up every day.
That's right.
So on that note, we're drinking a Jolly Pumpkin beer. The reason I brought Jolly Pumpkin is I know that, Joe, you're good friends with Dan Shelton, aren't you?
I am. And Dan actually is another big reason how and why I got into the business.
Dan who?
Dan Shelton.
Dan Shelton.
Dan Shelton. Yes.
Sheltonbrothers.com.
A friend to brewers and bar owners everywhere.
you can tell we all know each other well. What's this beer that we're drinking? It's Jolly Pumpkin.
This, I believe, is their fall seasonal. It's a brown ale from them, I think. I think they use like chestnuts in this beer, if I'm not mistaken. Cacao and cinnamon.
So it's orange brown peel. Is this last fall or this is a vintage dated
this
beer?
This is probably,
I see a date in the fall. Back of the bottle.
Is it really?
I know it was just released.
No, it's Blend 3
yeah. Okay.
In it was just released in the spring, so.
It's got, it's got that sour, that Brett's going on. It's
great. That's there. I tell you, if you're ever out in Michigan, particularly in like the Ann Arbor area, you have to go to Jolly Pumpkin. It's one of the coolest breweries because it's just such a simple brewery. It's a sea of wood. It looks like a winery, really. It doesn't look like a brewery. He's got two pieces of stainless steel in the entire brewery. His brew kettle and his bottling tank, which all the liquid goes in to get bottled from. Everything else is wood, and barrels of various sizes and former uses, and everything gets blended. Each beer is a blend of many different barrels, and it's just a cool brewery. And
sounds very Belgian.
Ron Jeffries is one of the more really artisanal brewers in this country, who's doing some just incredible stuff in a sort of hands-off approach by kind of making this beer and letting nature kind of monkey with it a little bit. It is very, lambic-esque in his philosophy. Even though he's using a pitched strain of yeast, a lot of the complexity of this beer is from the other wild yeast and bacteria that live in the wood, just like in, what would happen in lambic.
Sure. But, just like a Belgian beer, too, I mean, these bottles, every bottle of Jolly Pumpkin I've had, it's been phenomenal. I mean, it's just an outstanding beer, one of the best.
And I think that's a testament to his brewing
style. But I got to say though, when I've had this stuff occasionally on draft, it reminds me of the same thing that happens when I get a lot of Belgian beers on draft that aren't necessarily meant to be served on draft.
Right.
It's you don't get that bottle conditioned quality.
It's true. It takes on a different character. And, a beer like this, it's certainly fine on draft. He does like his BAM beer, his lighter style is crisper beers. Like the BAM beer
is that the wheat beer?
No, the BAM is sort of a really hoppy, light-bodied beer, but has all the same kind of...
Where does
he
get these names from?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I know the Jolly Pumpkin thing came from literally making a list of silly names.
Well,
the
brewery, and I got to say, it's the bane of my bartender's existence. It's like, no, I don't want Jolly Pumpkin. I don't want any pumpkin beer.
I don't like pumpkin beer, man.
Yeah, it's,
right.
And it's,
well, yeah, there's more. The more for the rest of us.
That's
right.
I stopped trying to explain it. In fact, now I overprice it because I'm like, I'm going to drink this beer.
Right. This is one.
And
beer
if you
that,
don't know the beer, you don't even need to drink it.
You know, it's funny you say that because the beer is a relatively great bargain for what the labor intensive process that he goes through in barrel aging all this stuff and blending it all. it's really a great bargain. And this, you know, there's other beers, domestic beers. We're not talking, you know, stuff coming from Belgium. Domestic beers that are, it don't take as much time to create as these beers do. That are, you know, $10 more a bottle sometimes.
Right.
So it's on top of it, it's actually, you know, it's a pretty great deal for what you're getting.
And it's a great summertime beer too, because it really cleans your palate. The sourness is really great for the summertime.
Joe, the other question I want to ask you is, you have the coolest draft lineup in the city. It's always changing. What beers do you have on draft tonight?
Last night we did an event, that was sort of a summer solstice event. So barring nothing has changed since last night, we have BFM, Brasserie Frontage Montagne, if I got that right, from Switzerland. They just came out with a beer called Le Dose that was brewed with a little salt, actually, I think, to soften the water. And a blend of some American hops that's unfiltered, super crisp, really cool beer. Really just
so BFM amazing. On draft.
Yeah, amazing.
I've never seen it on beer. Draft. Wow.
We also did a Mikeller Drinking the Sun, I believe it was called, which was actually, I think it was a little overly hoppy. It's sort of their version of like Three Floyds Gumball Head, the really hoppy American wheat beer. But it was intense. It was super hoppy. We also had the Dark Horse Blueberry Stout, which is a really intense beer at 4.5%. I mean, super
this was your summer solstice event.
This was, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we did a cider from Farnham Hill. We did their summer cider, a mead from the Redstone Meadery. It was
they have great
apricot
stuff.
Mead, yeah. But Farnham Hill is probably the best American cider maker, and the Redstone Meadery does really cool meads. And they're, as far as I know, the only ones kegging mead for you know, draft mead.
Now Farnham Hill, they don't keg, do they?
They do, yeah. They keg, they cask.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was just bottles.
No, that's what I was saying. We had this their summer cider on keg.
That's interesting.
And then we also had a wine, a Chardonnay from Channing Daughters out in the Hamptons on tap as well.
A wine.
And
On tap.
And I mark my words, and I'm not saying 5 years from now, I'm saying a year from now, you will walk, 2/3 of the bars you walk into or restaurants you will walk into will have wine on tap. Guarantee it.
And the same draft system with
it? Yeah, the only thing you need to do is you need to push it with nitrogen.
Pure nitrogen.
If you're doing a small keg and you're really moving it, G-Mix is probably okay, but you really want something inert that's not going to go in the solution. You can't push it with CO2, obviously.
Of course not.
Unless it was sparkling.
Right. Prosecco on draft.
But these are, you know, it's a regular American Sankey keg, and it hooks up to a normal draft system, and you just pour it like
never
it's,
considered it's beer. It.
And you know, I'm thinking about moving to Williamsburg because you have so many great events. It's like if I wish I was nearby and you were my after work bar, because I would be there every day. We have Jen, who's Brooklyn Beer Gal. Jen, where do you live?
I live in Williamsburg.
Do you?
What a coincidence.
And do you ever go to Spite and Dival?
I do.
What are
do.
Some of the favorite things about Spite and Dival?
The atmosphere, the beer, we'll say that first. Just all of Joe's places, the design, the atmosphere, the crowd, just everyone's having a good time, and just beers that you can't always find everywhere else. So certainly I live around the corner. I'm pretty lucky.
Wow.
So
the big question is, where did you get your bar at Spite and Dival? I know there's
the
a story.
Bar top?
Yeah, the bar top.
That bar top is a very old 20-foot run of mahogany that I bought at an estate sale in New Jersey for $50.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful bar.
Yeah.
We can say shit.
Yeah. And it was, you know, this is a while before I knew I was opening a bar. And I had a small inkling maybe that I could possibly someday, relatively soon, maybe open a bar. And it was actually listed at like 150, which is still an absolute steal. I mean, ridiculous. Now, it was just the bar top. Granted, it wasn't the entire bar, but still. But I wasn't sure I was doing a bar, and I was a little hesitant to even spend $150 on this 20-foot
piece of mahogany.
You
probably
could have
sold it for $75.
I'm sure I could have, but it was a matter of, like, where am I putting it in the meantime,
right.
You know? And I wound up going back the next day, and nobody had taken it. Nobody made an offer, and I offered her $50, and she said, take it. I figure for $50, I'll figure out where I can put it. And, you know, it wound up working out because a year or two later, whatever it was, we were opening the bar. And
so where did you put it?
We wound up getting a storage space We had a bunch of other things that probably could have gone into the storage space, and that was the, you know, the linchpin. As soon as we got the bar, I was like, all right, we need to pull the trigger on a storage space.
We gotta buy a bar so we can get rid of this piece of wood.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of our listeners asking how you open a bar. I guess first you have to end up with a bar. And
yeah, first you need a bar. Exactly.
And you're wasting money on buying too much beer.
Right.
Yeah.
We actually bought our bar in New Jersey also. It was at this... It's a long story. I'm not going to go into it, but we bought our bar in New Jersey for almost no money at all. So,
and you and I are both from New Jersey.
That's so right.
Something, you know.
All right.
Going on there.
Well, we're going to take a little break. We're going to listen to some cool music. I think it's Soul Bossa Nova by Quincy Jones. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. I'm Jimmy Carboni, your host. Radiator's my co-host tonight.
Yo.
We're sponsored by thegreatbrewers.com. And our special guests, Joe Carroll from Spite and Dibble.
Hello.
And Ron Lindenbush from Lagunitas.
Howdy.
So over the break, we learned that Joe and Ron, you guys go way back.
Way back.
Way back.
Dude.
Ron, tell us about Joe. Lagunitas was a small brewery up in Petaluma, California. How did you guys ever come to New York?
Well, we were selling our beer in Northern California and Oregon and Washington, and started spreading out a little bit. Went to Colorado and Texas, and then we started thinking about where we were going to go next. And the East Coast was starting to come on really strong, obviously, with good beer in the craft brew realm. It's always been a strong import market. But, you know, I got this call one day from a guy named Manny Calderon, and he said, man, there's some bar owners here that really want your beer in New York. You should come check it out. So I got on a plane and came out, and he goes, I got to take you to the guy that was the number one. He goes, his name's Joe. He opened this place called Spite and Dival in Brooklyn. And I wandered in, and it was just kind of the beginning of searching out New York and finding a way to get our beer here.
So what year did you start distributing in New York?
What year was that, Joe? Do you remember? Open briefly.
04 was probably when you first came in, maybe late 04, and then the beer probably came in sometime 05, maybe a year later, you know, by the time everything actually got here. But I'm going to guess and say it was probably late 04 or so when I first met you.
Yeah. When did you open Spite and Dival?
03, the end of 03.
Okay, then, it was yeah. You'd been open for a little while, yeah. But it probably was 04 when I came to visit.
Yeah, we opened September 03, so I'm figuring that probably the following spring, summer, fall, somewhere around there.
And Ron, what kind of leap of faith does it take for you guys to go into a new state or a new market?
Well, you know, I just always kind of go around, do my homework, go around to bars, and, you know, that research is a big part of the fun of checking out new markets, I'll tell
research,
you.
Research.
work. So I go around to bars and just find out what's, you know, what's popular, what people like to drink, what bar owners like to serve, what, you know, just check out the scene and see if anybody's ever heard of us. And I was in Tennessee last week, and a lot of people never heard of us there, which now I consider an opportunity.
Nice.
I used to look for a little more familiarity, you know, when we came to New York. There were a handful of guys, Robert Hodson at Union Beer, you know, he was a big fan, and Dave Broderick at the Blind Tiger. I went and met with him, and he pulls out a bottle of aged barley wine of ours, and he's going, I was wondering when I was going to open this bottle. He said, funny you should walk into my bar. I said, where'd you get that?
What are some of the top Lagunitas beers that you sell in New York?
It's our IPA mainly. I mean, Joe calls it his Budweiser, I think, still.
That's right. We go through quite a few cases of that.
I love the pills, personally. I think you make great pills.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. The Pilsner's been going real well. You know, there just aren't a lot of craft brewers that are kind of dedicating the tank space to making a good lager. Mm-hmm. So we're really happy with that one.
It's about time. I think that I think the arc is coming back finally. It's like people are drinking the extreme beers, yeah, double IPAs, and all the triple this and imperial that. And this is a common theme for me. Right. And to come back to a nice, subtly made, wonderful IPA or Pilsner or good lager is just amazing. You know?
Yeah, I think
you got to appreciate that subtlety.
Everybody always wonders, where's this whole thing going next? You know, and the crazy yeast strains and like Jolly Pumpkin doing this barrel aging. I mean, that's definitely a big part of the future of craft beer. But I really think session ales and lagers and nice sessionable crisp beers that you can slam.
We can sell more.
You know, I can drink more and I don't fall down and my kids don't have to wake me up on the couch. You know,
yeah, that's an ugly picture.
Hold on, guys, we got a call in. Let's see, who is this, and tell us your question.
Hi, my name is Tessa, and I hear there's something about free pork.
Yes, it's true. All the shows on Heritage Radio Network, we are giving away some Heritage pork. You have to ask us a question about beer, and we'll answer it.
Ooh, a question about beer.
Shouldn't we ask her a question?
Let her ask her a question, and then we'll ask her a question.
So we recently just brewed a pale ale and a Kolsch. We used the to do the last bit of, oh gosh, I'm trying to
finish
my word for like retard. Yeah, to like, you know, get to the bottling.
Mm-hmm. Conditioning,
thank you. The pale ale actually took longer to... We thought that maybe the pale ale, we did that first and then did the Kolsch second. And the Kolsch came through pretty quickly, but the pale ale took longer. And we at first thought we had killed off our yeast, that maybe it got too warm. And you were just talking about different strains of yeast. So are there yeasts that take a little bit longer than
Well, that's, than that's a good
but it
question.
It's kind of weird. The pale ale was took longer to ferment than the...
Okay.
In the primary fermentation, the original fermentation, or the conditioning in the bottle?
The conditioning in the bottle.
That might have been, did you do them both at the same exact time?
No, the Kolsch happened about a week later.
That might have been, you know, just a matter of the amount of priming sugar that you guys used, or, you know, yeast function, they're living things, so they also are susceptible to, you know, the temperature, or lots of different factors that can slow it down or speed it up, or so that's nothing that odd. It doesn't seem it.
Why don't you send us some of your homebrew and we'll talk about it on the show?
I would love to. I mean, it turned out really well. We were pretty pleased. I mean, we're like, well, this tastes good, but it's kind of flat right now. But it really came out really nicely, and we're pretty happy. So this is like our fifth. We have like one beer that I totally screwed up. That was my fault. I take full responsibility for screwing it up. All the other ones seem to have turned out really well.
How'd you screw it up?
When we were, I don't know why I thought this. For some reason, I thought that when we were starting the bottling process, that the yeast, that some amount of the sediment needed to be in the bottle. So right. I thought maybe stirring it was a good idea. So we have about 20 bottles sitting on top of our cabinets that we will never open. That they were awful. It was a very, very bad idea. I don't know why I thought that. That was like...
The flavor of
really
dead yeast is generally not.
I think that the best thing you can do with that is use it for a hair conditioner.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Distill it.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what. Thanks for calling in. Talk to Jack, our producer. He's going to get you some pork. And one more question. Where are you? Where do you live?
Right now I'm living in the Flatbush, Ditmas area of Brooklyn.
All right. Brooklyn. Rock on.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Cool. We love getting call-ins, and we love getting questions. That's fantastic. Now we're going to go to a question. We've got an email question. We're trying to be the car talk of beer. How about that, guys? So we got here's a question here. Let's slow down. So you're going to get pork. Pork is a giveaway now, Heritage Radio Network. And Jen from Brooklyn Beer Girl had recommended if you make a bad batch of beer, use it for hair conditioner. Well, that was the pre-show notes. But here's a question from Sarah, who had emailed in. A few weeks ago, I had a beer that knocked my socks off. It was great. I drank the six-pack. not in one sitting, but over the course of a couple of days, and was completely satisfied. Last night, I thought I'd be in the mood for that same beer again. It didn't taste anything like I had remembered, not even close. Any insight on what might have happened? Was it me or was it the beer? What do you guys think? I think that it's like this saying my wife and I have. It's called once but not twice. A lot of times you try something or you go to a restaurant. The first time you go, you think this is great. And whatever it is about it, the forwardness, the flavors, they seem to impress you. You go back the second time and you just doesn't seem the same. What do you think?
I agree. When you know, eat a meal or drink a beer or drink wine or whatever it is in a particular location, let's say you're in Europe or let's say you're at a brewery or you're on vacation, whatever it might be, there, it always seems to greatly enhance your enjoyment of whatever those things are. And it's very difficult to replicate that at home. But this guy said he was at home, right?
At home.
Yeah, so he didn't really, you know.
I don't know. It's I agree with that. Yeah, you can provide the same wine, the same beer, or the same spirit, but you can't provide the same sunset, the same company,
right,
the same moment.
Yeah. See, but this guy, he was just in his living room, though.
So
maybe it was the music he was playing.
Right.
Maybe he bought at a deli that was...
it could have been the beer. I mean,
yeah, you know.
Beer goes bad sometimes.
Yeah. Although it's odd that the same...
It could have been that the beer itself wasn't good. Like, there's a lot of beers, you know, they get you with that first taste, you know.
Maybe this guy's just fucking crazy.
Maybe he was eating
Sarah. First of all, it's a woman. It's a woman. Her name is Sarah. And she was completely repulsed by the very same beer. But you know, women are like that. Uh-oh.
Ray, you gotta
follow
really
that just
up
say that, Ray?
You got Bree going. You know, Bree's our producer. She's laughing. Ray?
Well, that's what...
Tell us about Women in Beer. This is our subject now. Women in Beer by Ray Dieter.
But I'm gonna say, that's what's so fantastic.
Ladies, if you want to call in and talk to Ray, you can actually call him RJ Dieter. Those are his initials. That's what we call him around the station. RJ, tell us more about Women in Beer.
Well, I just think that I love when women are in beer. It's great. They just bathe in beer. They have a little bath in it. That's a great time.
Can we rag on a beer? Can I say that I was at the Coney Island Parade on Saturday?
Oh,
I was in the sun for 2 hours. I waited in line at Nathan's. I finally got a Coors Light. And the first couple sips tasted good. And after that, it tasted like pee-pee.
Mm-hmm. You got to drink it quick. You got to it's got to be ice
did
fucking
you,
cold.
Did you go to Jeremy Cowan's World's Smallest Brewery while you were out there?
What?
No, I didn't know that.
You know Jeremy from Hebrew and
from,
Coney Island.
Coney Island Schmaltz.
Right. Schmaltz Brewing, exactly. So he launched the world's smallest brewery. He has a 1 gallon brewery in Coney Island.
He's got a carboy there?
And it's being brewed by a midget.
And what does he do with it? Do you get to drink it?
Not kidding. Yeah, I guess you can drink it. You know, it's a gallon at a time. It's not going very far, but yeah.
Actually, I heard it was
his float. Square foot.
His float in the Coney Island Parade is he put that 1 gallon beer machine on the back of the float and he drove it down.
There you go,
Surf Avenue.
Nice.
But has anyone been to the Coney Island Mermaid Parade?
I have not. In my life, I have.
It's great.
It's really fun.
We're
going to put out a pitch that next year. We're going to get together and we're going to have a beer tent because Nathan's got a monopoly.
Right.
They got Coors Light and hot dogs. You got to wait for 2 hours in line.
It's insane.
We're going to have Beer Sessions Radio, and I'm going to promise this to you all. We're going to have a tent with stadium seating. Rachel Warden from Edible Brooklyn's already on board. We're going to have an awesome time next year at the Coney Island Mermaid.
And a live remote.
Maybe the three of us should just open up a beer garden out in Coney
Even
Island.
Even better.
I'm in for that.
We'll make some special beer.
Lagunitas all the way.
That's right.
So Lagunitas and Spite and Dive. What are some of the beers that you brought tonight, Ron? Because I really dig in Lagunitas today.
I brought a few things. This one we're drinking right now is called the Undercover Investigation Shutdown.
Ron,
Ale.
That's an interesting name for a beer. How did you guys come up with that name?
It's kind of an unusual name. You know, it's kind of long. We thought that maybe we should shorten it, but it really doesn't tell the whole story without the whole undercover investigation and the shutdown part. And the original label at the bottom, it said, "Whatever, we're still here."
Are you terrorists?
Well, they thought so that day. There were handcuffs and there were arrests.
Handcuffs.
Excuse me, Ron. Please fill us in. Our listeners, and I'm ignorant, and our listeners are new to this.
Well, we were having these parties every Thursday at the brewery for a couple of years, about a year and a half.
What about
or
the
so.
Other days of the week?
We just opened up on Thursdays.
Oh, okay.
We'd sell $2 beers. We'd put a little band up on the stage, and the band had started at 4:20, and we'd just whoop it up a little bit and hang out for a few hours and drink some beer.
And the ABC wasn't really sure where our license stood, is what they said. So they came to visit us, but they didn't tell us they were there, is the funny thing. They were undercover. Imagine that.
Funny how they do that.
Yeah, it was really weird. So they were there for 8 weeks, 8 Thursdays in a row, kind of hanging out at the bar and having a good
time.
Just
in case there were any shenanigans going on.
Well, you never know. So they did check. They did go by our bottling line and to see if any of our bottling line guys would be happy to sell them some of Northern California's finest stuff other than beer.
Produce.
Oh. Yeah, produce. It is.
All right. So you guys, Lagunitas is pushing limits. You guys had the run-in with the Frank Zappa.
Well, that was more of a
label.
That was a pretty happy thing, really. Just Gail Zappa had approved our series of Zappa labels, and then after five of them, she decided she was done. But we had a good run. We just helped sponsor Dweezil Zappa's camp that actually is going on right now up in Woodstock. It's called Dweezilla.
Dweezilla.
We're very involved. Yeah, it's a music camp, and Dweezil teaches.
Here's the New York City question, and Ray's going to talk to you with this. Okay, you're in New York. You're going to make a beer for New York City. What would that beer be? What style, what flavors, whatever?
You know, it's we may do that, actually, next year. We were talking about that before the show, that we've got one tank left in the brewery that's a 60-barrel tank that we can make some special beers. And
July Good Beer Month.
Exactly, yeah. July Good Beer
Month. That's a great idea.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a one-off that'll be...
One of my favorite styles is the Saison style.
You know, we're playing around with that a lot and doing some barrel aging and stuff with ours is called Sonoma Farmhouse Ale. And,
wow.
You know, maybe we'd lean toward that yeast and do something like that.
So what you said you're doing special beers every month. Like which styles of beer have you made recently?
We made one that the first one we did was for Chicago Beer Week, actually, or for the Craft Brewers Conference Week in Chicago that kind of was a de facto beer week. But we got a survey together, and we asked about 60 bar owners what kind of beer they wanted us to make. And it was really interesting that came back with a consensus of about a 5.5% beer, an ale, kind of dry hopped, but not real heavily and not super bitter. And they came back with a sessionable beer. I was blown away.
That's great. I love that.
You know, back to my point earlier, I think that's where things are going.
No matter... you know, how excited people get and all of our customers get about coming in and drinking the really crazy off the wall stuff and the super high alcohol stuff. And there's people get very excited about that stuff. And some of those beers are incredible. Bottom line is we all probably sell the 5% easy drinking beer in the largest quantities because at the end of the day, that's what people want to drink. I mean,
especially
people want something,
summertime.
Especially in warm weather. Obviously people want something quenching. But that's really what moves and it's great. It's very satisfying as a good beer bar owner to have really quality stuff in that range, in that 4.5-5.5% range.
It hasn't always been easy to keep that kind of stuff in either, because the quality of the pilsners and the session ales have gone up a lot.
Just
in the past few years.
There are some of the most difficult styles of beer to produce because there's nothing to hide behind.
Right.
Everything's right out. You know, it's
not overhopped.
It's
not crazy alcohol. There's no crazy malt sweetness to it.
Yeah, when you get into this next one, we've got Imperial Stout that we're about to taste. But, you know, with an Imperial Stout, or our next beer is called Hop Stupid, you know, and it just...
this flows along with our conversation, doesn't it?
Exactly. So, we're playing both sides of it, you know, without a doubt. Hop Stupid is something that definitely covers up flaws if there's a little weirdness.
Let's get another question, Joe. Since we're talking about sessional beers, and I always love your beer knowledge and taste in beer, pick your top five sessional beers that you would drink right now.
Wow. You know, it's not that difficult. One of my favorite, hands down for years and years now, has been the Thierrier Extra. Or at least that's how it's known in the States, is as Extra XX. It's about 4-4.5% beer, a French farmhouse ale. Hoppy, but not American hop, so it's got a spicier, kind of peppery note
beer.
To it.
Sounds like cotton unfiltered. Mouth, like a little cottony mouth.
It's just got this great, zippy, crisp, crunchy quality to it.
There's some great beers coming out of France, and France is not known as a beer nation, but great stuff.
The northeast corner of France produces some real, you know, along the Belgian border produces some really incredible beers, but you know it's they're kind of obscure. They produce them in very small quantities, you know, very little of it sees the light
of
day
outside. South Belgium
it's sort of it yeah it's, right or West Belgium,
so yeah. Belgium. Don't tell that to the people in France.
That's certainly one of my favorite. Southern Tier does a brewery in New York State here does a great beer called Hop Sun. Again, in that sort of in that same mold as the Gumball Head, where it's a very light bodied, super crisp American style wheat beer. So when I say American style wheat beer, I mean
we have some Hop Sun right here in our hands.
Oh, awesome! Very cool. Yeah, it's not so it doesn't have that German wheat beer quality to it. It's a much cleaner flavor. It doesn't have that really yeasty flavor to it, and it's got quite a bit of hops. I believe Amarillo. I'm not 100% sure, but it's got a good amount of American hops to it that give it a nice, you know, kind of bitter edge. Yeah, so those are definitely two of my favorites. Biersel Lager. Which is a lager that's
produced
for Driefontein and from Armand de Belder from Driefontein.
I never had that.
Has it made for him by De Proof, and it's just a great
By De Proof.
It's great, like extra dry,
unfiltered, super dry lager. Oh, yeah. Really cool lager.
Last weekend it was really hot on Saturday, and I was really craving a beer like that, like the Biersel Lager, the De La Santaris Bulba.
Right, Taurus Bulba. Is another,
only
another
like 4.5% alcohol, super dry, but with this nice hoppy finish.
You had some?
I love it. I have it on draft at Jimmy's 43.
You have it right now?
Baby.
How come I don't?
Yeah. Well, I'm really right. tied with Sheldon Brothers.
There's going to be problems.
Do you know Dan Sheldon?
Dan, curse you, Dan Sheldon.
Do you guys both do your own beer ordering?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
For do both you still?
I do. I do and all I my all the alcohol. You know,
I think the good beer still owners actually right. order their own beer.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw in my one of my favorite session beers right now before we cut out for a minute. It's the Schlenkler Helles Lager.
That's great beer.
Schlenkler
as well.
Is a smoked house, but they just make a very dry, crisp lager, and they run it through their regular equipment, and it picks up the essence of smoke.
Right.
So instead of having a hot finish,
perfect level of smoke.
And yours, right?
I got to throw in Fuller's London Pride. One of the great
solid
British,
beer,
one of the great British session ales, about 4%,
super tasty,
lovely,
and Lagunitas. What's the Pilsner's name? Is it Czech Pils?
Czech style Pils.
Czech style Pils, right up.
Oh
there.
Yeah.
Guys, let's take a minute break. Our next song, it's Thunderball by Tom Jones. Hang in there. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Runs while others walk. He acts while other men just talk. He looks at this world and wants it all. So he strikes. Success. His needs are more, so he gives less. They call him the winner who takes all, and he strikes.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. We are so lucky tonight. We have a full house. We've got some guys from Long Trail and Otter Creek, and Wallivers just walked in. Rob Emmer, how are you from Otter Creek? Is it Otter Creek? Tell us your official name of your brewery now. Otter Creek, what?
Yeah, the official name is Otter Creek Brewing Company. We're out of Middlebury, Vermont, and it's good to be here, guys. Thank you for having us. Yeah.
You guys have some really great beers. It's Wallivers, Otter Creek, and now Long Trail. Ray, you know these beers, don't you?
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to be celebrating these beers at DBA Williamsburg this evening after 7 o'clock. That's where we're going back.
You got a great tradition now. So you do special events on Tuesday nights at DBA Brooklyn.
Yep.
And you often bring in the brewery reps.
And I drag down the brewers, the brewery people, drag them down, kicking and shouting, throw them on the radio. We have something to eat, then we go back to DBA at 7 o'clock, and we drink their beer all night long.
Well, you know, one of our regular guests, Dave Broderick, he talks a lot about Vermont beers. There's a guy up there named Sean Hill who's making, is it Nano Brewing?
Yeah.
Joe, do you know a lot about the real small breweries up in Vermont?
I do, and I know Sean. And Sean's a really great guy and a kick-ass brewer. I mean, I met Sean, about 5 years ago or so at the Extreme Beer event that Beer Advocate does up in Boston. And you know, you're at this event, there's probably 40 or more breweries there with all bringing, you know, it's extreme beer, so they're bringing their craziest shit, what, you know,
a lot of session beer there, right?
Yeah a lot of, you know, 3.5-4% beers. I tell you, Sean's beers really stood out among the crowd. I mean, as being extremely well made, some great saisons, some great sour beers. Really, really cool stuff, and he's been doing some good stuff for a bunch of years now.
Rob, before you came in, we were talking about session beers. Tell us, you know, between Long Trail and Otter Creek and Wallivers, what are some of the really good session beers that you guys make?
Well, in the last few months, you know, at Otter Creek, Mike Gerhardt came out with a beer called Otter. It's a session ale, and
it's called a session ale.
Yeah, it's called session ale. It's Otter session ale. And it's Solstice Session now, actually, and it's done really well for us. It's low in alcohol, 4%, 18 IBUs, but it's really great, and really trying to get the drinker out there. He dry hops some of the hops to give it that flavor and keep it. So that's certainly one of them that we're doing. And Long Trail has the blackberry wheat. It's really a one that people love, and you know, people should really go out there and try it, because it's got some great ingredients in here, and people really enjoy it.
Are you actually using blackberries, or is it like a jelly? Or
they definitely use the blackberries in there, and I think it's a tradition of Vermont. You know, Vermont doesn't like to use any artificial flavors or syrup in there and pretty much any of their beers. So I mean, that's always been a rule tradition for Otter Creek and Long Trail. So
Long Trail, how long has Long Trail been brewing? There's a great history there.
This is 1989.
So here's tell us your name. You're from Long Trail.
Yeah, I'm Rigel Byrne, the Metro New York brewery rep for Long Trail. And this is our 21st year. So
that long? 21 years?
Yeah, 1989 they started.
I had no idea.
That's got a great brand. Ray, have you carried Long Trail before?
Off and on we have it. We rotate it through, you know, occasionally. And it's always been a great beer. And tonight, certainly, we're going to have a bunch of it on draft at DBA in Williamsburg.
What are some of the beers that you have?
We have the double IPA,
yep,
which is the current Brewmasters. We have the regular traditional IPA, which is unfiltered, and the
it's Belgian unfiltered. White.
Yes.
I want to know that.
Yep.
The unfiltered white.
No, IPA.
IPA.
And the Belgian white. That's our summer seasonal.
And what's your most popular beer?
The Long Trail Ale is our flagship. This time of year, the seasonal does really well, though. The Belgian White's kind of on fire for us.
And for a beer of that quality, it's also a relatively inexpensive beer, too. The price point is very reasonable.
So Long Trail Ale.
Long Trail Ale. Yes,
we had a great night tonight. Tell me about some of your other favorite session beers besides Fuller's. We know you love Fuller's.
I do love Fuller's. I mean, I've always got to think about this one Pilsner I had when I was in Belgium. I went to the DuPont Brewery, and they make a Pilsner that was just unbelievable. It was about 4.5%, and it was just one of the best beers I've ever had in my entire life.
Can you only get that at the brewery,
right? Or in the village?
Right.
That's only, they will not bring it over.
I mean, local beer is best. I mean, right now, we are really growing in New York. We got Kelso, we got Brooklyn, we got Six Point.
Kelso Pils is very good, too. I think that's a great
beer. Yeah, Kelly Taylor was on a couple weeks ago. We were drinking the Kelso Saison and the Kelso Pilsner.
Brooklyn Lager, you know, right down the street from us on North 11th Street in Williamsburg. I mean, Brooklyn Lager is a great beer. It's inexpensive.
I'll tell you, not quite session beer ABV, but what an amazing warm weather quenching beer is the Sriracha Ace, man.
Oh, yeah.
Is a dynamite beer. That super lemony. I mean, what a tasty beer.
Brooklyn Sriracha Ace, yes.
It's a little Garrett strong.
Oliver.
Yeah, it's a little, it's like 7.5-8%, yeah, something like that.
Garrett, we love you. They're coming back. They're making some great new beers, small production at the brewery. But I want to interview Jen from Brooklyn Beer Gal. Jen's got a long history. She started out at Sam Adams. and now she works in relation to Food Network and some other media. But she's been a big fan of beer. I think you go to almost every beer festival in the whole country. Is that true?
I'm trying. Right now, I'd say the Portland Brewers Festival is one I try and make every year, heading out there. And it's always the last full weekend in July. That is an Extreme Beer Fest, Boston. Head there every February. So those are my standards. It all started when I worked at Sam Adams and I wanted to help the brewers pour at Great American Beer Festival, and that opened a whole new world for me. And that was back in 1996.
So Jen, coming up in July, what's going on in July? Because I know you're involved in something for July.
I think we would call that July Good Beer Month.
And you're helping. What are you doing for July Good Beer Month?
I'm helping out with some social media, which promote, you know, social media and the world of beer. I think you've talked about that a couple times on the show.
Yeah, you know, the Good Beer Seal set out last year. We, you know, a bunch of good beer bars. We have 27 good beer bars now. And second year for July Good Beer Month. Mayor Bloomberg is going to be announcing it shortly that July is New York City Good Beer Month. What are some of the social media ideas that you have planned for us?
Well, I think, you know, we, for the month, we just want to really promote all the good beer bars and all the events that all these bars are doing throughout the month. You know, you've mentioned Meatopia a bunch of times. We're trying to figure out how to incorporate a lot of the new tools like Foursquare. I don't know if you've talked about that on the show before, but...
Is anybody the Twitter. Mayor? The mayor of any bar here? Is that what Foursquare is about? Being the mayor?
It is. Yeah.
Are you the mayor of any place?
I was the mayor of the Extreme Beer Festival in Boston. So you know that's if there was a, that was my first and only mayorship. But
without prejudice, if there were a bar in New York City that you could be the mayor of today, what would it be? Don't be scared.
Uh-oh.
No, that's too hard of a question.
Spite and
Jimmy's 43.
Jimmy's 43?
DBA? Jimmy's 43?
Come on.
Blind Tiger?
Oh, come on. You can't put me on the spot.
So you're the best guest we have because you're like, you love beer. You know, you don't have to work in it. You don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's. I'd love to work in the beer industry again, but then it becomes work. Although, that's what I admire about everyone that works in the industry. It doesn't seem like work because everyone just has that passion for it. And it's why we're all here today, right? Everyone who works in beer, Absolutely. We all love all right. it.
And Joe, you got some great beers for us tonight.
I'm here for the money, actually.
Everybody. This is one of those loose shows, guys. Just hang out. We got Long Trail, Otter Creek, Logging into Spite and Dival, Brooklyn Beer Gal, Jimmy's number 43 in DBA. Let's just fill the room, guys. You want to come on the show? Just call in and we'll bring you on the show. And, you know, Sessa, you can bring in your home brews, and we should probably give Sessa, in addition to that free Heritage Pork, maybe a Beer Sessions t-shirt. You know, we have some of those.
And, they look great on
but I'm actually so happy that Joe Carroll came in from Spite and Dival. It's a real treat. I know you're so busy opening a new place. Joe has two twins. He's a cool guy. But last question. This is an awesome beer you brought for us.
Is that four? Two twins is four, right?
Two twins is four.
Don't they always come in twos?
Two twins.
So, Joe, this beer that you brought in is really amazing. Please tell us about it.
You know, I honestly don't know a lot about it. I picked this up in Denver back in September when I was out for the Great American Beer Fest. It's from Odell's Brewing. It's a barrel-aged golden ale. It's 11%. Beyond that, I really don't know a lot about it. It's quite tasty. You know, it's got nice body.
Where's Odell? What state?
It's in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Colorado.
And the wood is not over the top. It's there.
Very but present. It's very present.
Yeah, but it's not. It's oak. It's, like, it's not
yeah, more
bourbon.
Oak and
it's
sweet not, than not, strong.
Right. You're getting porridge.
There's enough
porridge.
Richness right. to carry the oak pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's nice. It's a little undercarbonated, I think, but
porridge
maybe a touch oxidized. But it's all right. It's interesting. Mako, I like the label. It's got a nice label.
It's got a nice label. That's the important thing.
It is
a nice Odell's label, nice tap handle. That's most. That's what I look for.
You know, we made a little pilgrimage when we were out in Colorado in September to a few beer stores to find stuff that we don't get here to taste some stuff, and this was you know, one of the bottles.
Odell's has been doing it for a long time, and they make some really nice beers, all top to bottom. Doug Odell, the owner, is just real creative and super experimental, just all over the board. And this is an example of that for sure.
I did notice that it's signed by the brewer, and it's a woman, Jessica Bell, So it's kind of cool. There's not a ton of women brewing, so it's always pretty cool to see.
Well, there's subtleties to it. It's actually, even though brewer. It's a strong beer, it's not overpowering.
No, it sticks up on
it's 11%. It goes down pretty easily. Yeah, so.
A little too easily.
Right.
You know, some of us, Joe, are you going to come next Monday? Some of the Good Beer Seal bar owners are going to go to Six Point Brewery in Red Hook.
Oh, Oregon. Right, yes.
And we're going to make a special batch of beer, about 60 kegs worth. It's going to be a smoked beer for Metopia and July Good Beer Month.
Nice.
And I know about half of those beers will be sold at Metopia, and the other half, about 27 kegs, will go to each Good Beer Seal bar, which will be kind of fun.
And when is that brewing process going to happen?
It's next Monday, June 28th, 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
In the morning, guys.
What are you talking about?
I think brewers'
Who
hours
set that up?
Are different than
Jimmy.
Bar owners.
Yeah.
I thought we had a union. What happened? 9 a.m.?
Yeah, it should be 9 p.m.
Well, we're just trying to get Jim about
listening. What the fuck, Jimmy?
Joe Carroll, coolest guy in New York, coolest beer guy, Spite and Dival, Feta Sau, St. Anselm's. I'm dying to see,
I'm coming back every week.
Listen, please do. When you get you're welcome to, and when you get your license at St. Anselm's, we're going to announce it on the radio. Beer Sessions Radio is going to tell the world to check out St. Anselm's on Metropolitan.
Right on.
Because I want to see what beers you're selling. Didn't you stock up on wine there, too? Is that your plan?
We're doing a lot of wine there.
On draft?
We're doing a lot. Two wines on draft, actually, yeah.
I'm fascinated by the whole process.
From the Red Hook Winery, which is actually across the street from Six Point.
Okay, I'm gonna pick your brains about this after this.
No, it's brilliant, man. It's, you know, it's one of those things. I think there's a little bit of a stigma to it because people think back to like box wine and shit like
there's
that.
There's some great box wines.
Yeah,
now
there actually are. You know, it's like anything else. It's like cans in the beer world. You know, I always said the can is to beer as the screw top is to wine, but it's all kind of.
Jen bought some cans.
It's all kind of the same thing because there's these weird old school stigmas attached to these things, but.
Part of that is because the first kegged wines were really terrible.
Oh, right. And the first canned beers were really terrible.
Remember Master Cellars from AB?
Right, exactly.
Oh, God.
That's the shittiest house wine ever, right? Yeah.
It's like a bad flashback. Joe, one more question. I want to get all my Joe Carroll questions in. Okay, when we go to Spite and Dival, not only do you have the coolest list of beers, you also don't have pint glasses. Tell me about your philosophy.
What do you mean?
Don't you have those? Just a really cool, like stemmed glassware.
We do. We do have pint glasses, though. Imperial pints.
I'm disappointed.
20 ounces.
I thought it was fancy wine glasses.
Who does the research for this program? Heads are going to roll.
When we do session beer, we do Pilsner, Lager, stuff like that. Pale ales, we pour that into pint glasses. When we do stronger beers. Belgian style beers, things like that, more expensive beers, they for the most part go into 12 ounce wine glasses, stemware, sometimes 20 ounce wine glasses, but not filled to the top. And when we open up, you know, any bottle, any bottled beers that aren't real sessional beers, they also will go into stemware. But we do, you know, we have some pint glasses, sure.
Joe, it's great having you on, Ron. Rob and the guys from Long Trail and everybody. This is an awesome show. I'm like, I'm shaking. I'm like, guys, you know, we're going to have to expand this show to 2 hours because I want to keep talking to everybody. But what we do now is we go out to Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick. We're all going to get the steak for two, hang out, have pizzas, and keep drinking beer. And our fans out there, you're welcome to come and meet us any night. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. we finish up. We go to Roberta's in Bushwick. And Heritage Meats, you call in and get your pork. Any Heritage Radio Network show will get you that. And there's a couple of events we'll tell you about for the Good Beer Seal bars. Every Monday, of course, at DBA Brooklyn, Liquids of Interest, led by Ray Dieter.
And next week is going to be rum.
Rock on. Every Tuesday at Jamie's Number 43, there is a $10 beer tasting. Tonight, it's Belgian Triples. Also tonight, Rattle and Hum, there's Lagunitas. Is that tomorrow night or tonight?
No, that's tonight. That's a big part of the reason I'm in town. When we send these really, really special kegs out to parties, I like to go to the party. Unfortunately, this one was 2,500 miles away.
So you came into New York just to be at the Rattle and Hum event.
And to do this show, Jimmy, what are you talking about? This is why I'm here. The Rattle and Hum just coincidentally.
I'm giving a shout out to Rattle and Hum. Patrick Donaher is one of the new Good Beer Seal bar members.
That's a great guy.
He's an awesome guy. He's a hardworking guy. He loves you.
We'll have 11 beers on tap tonight, a couple of aged barley wines.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
And check out thegoodbeerseal.com. You can check out the other Good Beer Seal bars. Now there's 27. We've got July Good Beer Month coming up, July 1st. Mayor Bloomberg is going to issue a proclamation. You can learn all about it. And thank you to our sponsor, greatbrewers.com. Learn about beer and everything else. Beer Sessions Radio. Have a good night, guys. It was an awesome show.
Great, Jimmy.
Nice.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly.